Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time. Dig out the truth written between the lines. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining us today for Her Story number 32 is Jamie Glavick. Jamie is the Strategic Projects Coordinator at the Ohio Historical Society, and prior to that, she worked at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. She graduated magna cum laude from the University of Cincinnati with a degree in history and runs a blog on current issues and trends affecting the museum field and history organizations, and she also serves on the board of the Ohio Museums Association. To learn more about Jamie and her work, you can visit her blog, museumminute.wordpress.com, and you can follow her on Twitter at Museum Minute. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rebecca. Glad to be here.
Well, which woman in history are you going to share with us today?
I have selected Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Well, please tell us a little bit about Miss Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Well, Harriet Beecher Stowe was many things. She was a mother, a wife, a daughter, a sister, a student, a teacher, an abolitionist, and an author. She was born on June 14, 1811, in Litchfield, Connecticut, and she was the daughter of Roxanna Foote, who died when Harriet was only 5 years old, and Reverend Lyman Beecher. The Beechers were one of America's most prominent religious families. Her father, Lyman, was an outspoken social reformer and is arguably one of the most renowned and controversial ministers of his generation. As a matter of fact, all seven of Harriet's brothers entered the ministry as well. So she was born into a family of movers and shakers and reformers. Harriet took an interest in writing at a young age. What began as a parlor activity fairly typical for girls and women at home flourished as she attended Sarah Pierce's Litchfield Female Academy and later the Hartford Female Academy, which was founded by her oldest sister, Catherine Beecher, in 1823. At both academies, Harriet enjoyed the education of a man. She wasn't instructed on just the simple, proper social graces that were typical for female education at the time. Her curriculum included Latin, geography, mathematics, and philosophy. After completing her schooling, Harriet became a composition instructor at the Hartford Female Academy. In 1832, Lyman Beecher moved his family west to Cincinnati, Ohio, where he became the president of the Lane Theological Society. In Cincinnati, Harriet joined a literary social club called the Semicolon Club. In this club, an author's work was anonymously read aloud to a group by a selected orator, who was always male, and the group would discuss and critique the works that were read. It was also where Harriet met her husband, Calvin Stowe. They later married in 1836. In the first year of her marriage, and still living in Cincinnati, Ohio, the Cincinnati riots of 1836 took place. In April 1836, mobs attacked black communities in Cincinnati, and in July 1836, James Burney's printing press was destroyed. Harriet, disgusted by what she saw, wrote an editorial for the Cincinnati Journal, protesting mob rule and the right of freedom of speech by abolitionist publications. Cincinnati may have been in the free state of Ohio, but its politics and geographic location on the Ohio River made it a hotbed of racial tension. Harriet wasn't only writing about slavery. She wrote poems, newspaper, and magazine articles to supplement her family's income. She was a working mother and wife, helping to supplement the income of her husband. In 1849, Harriet experienced heartache when she lost her son to the Cincinnati cholera epidemic. She later claimed that this moment in her life made her understand what a slave woman would have felt like when her child was taken from her and auctioned off. In the year after her son's death, and still in mourning, in 1850, Congress passed the Fugitive Slave Act. The Beecher and the Stowe families opposed the institution of slavery. This new law made the nation a part of the system and support the system. It was illegal to hide or help a runaway slave, which the Stowe family did, and Harriet couldn't stand for it. In the same year that Congress passed the Fugitive Slave Law Act, the Stowe family moved to Brunswick, Maine, where Calvin, Harriet's husband, had been relocated for teaching. This is where she began to write Uncle Tom's Cabin. What began as a series of weekly installments for the National Era publication in 1851 regarding the horrors of slavery would develop into her most influential literary work. Met with applause and disdain, the novel was an international success in its publication in 1852, selling 300,000 in its first year in the United States and 1.5 million in Britain. The slavery debate was on, and now a part of everyday life. Harriet interviewed slaves, freed slaves, escaped slaves, and as her passion project developed, it catapulted her into an international icon and alleviated her family of any financial worry. Uncle Tom's Cabin, met with applause and disdain, created quite a debate amongst the nation. Southerners, some even banning the book, demanded that Harriet Beecher Stowe list and document where the story of Uncle Tom came from. In the following year, 1853, Harriet Beecher Stowe released A Key to Uncle Tom's Cabin, where she listed and documented the slaves that she had interviewed and the stories in which the Uncle Tom novel is based. In the years to follow, Harriet traveled speaking at abolitionist rallies and even traveled to D.C. 10 years after the publication of Uncle Tom's Cabin to meet with President Lincoln at the White House, which legend has it, he said, "So you are the little woman that started this great war." Harriet later said, regarding Uncle Tom's Cabin, "I wrote what I did because as a woman, as a mother, I was oppressed and brokenhearted with the sorrows and injustice I saw. Because as a Christian, I felt dishonored to Christianity. Because as a lover of my country, I trembled at the coming day of wrath." The power of Uncle Tom's Cabin is still alive and well in society today. It is a text that is read by high schoolers, college students, and adults. And it makes people uncomfortable, it challenges people, and some of the notions of race still resonate in society today. Harriet is also the author of 32 additional novels, including The Minister's Wooing, which came out in 1859, Old Town Folks in 1869, My Wife and I in 1871, and Palmetto Leaves in 1873, just to name a few. While she continued to write, she never reached the acclaim that she did with Uncle Tom's Cabin. Harriet Beecher Stowe later died on July 1, 1896, at the age of 85, in Hartford, Connecticut. She is buried in the historic cemetery at Phillips Academy in Andover, Massachusetts.
Is there any direct evidence that shows that President Lincoln actually said those words to her, the little woman who started the war?
In reality, no. That's what kind of makes the story fun and mysterious. There are reports as far as her daughter Hattie, who was at the White House with her, saying that it was a very droll time that they had at the White House, and that it was indeed very funny. Additionally, there is a note from Harriet to her husband, Calvin, that just basically says, "I had a real funny interview with the president." So whether or not President Lincoln said those words to her is a mystery, but there's no real evidence of it. So it's just folklore.
Right. Okay. Well, what is it about Harriet that you find to be so inspirational?
I think that Harriet, she was born into a prominent family. But being born into a prominent family does not always mean you're getting the best of everything. And so she knew that she was privileged and didn't take advantage of that. She made it her life's mission to better the lives of those who couldn't. So she looked at herself as someone who could make change and wouldn't be successful unless that happened. She had a very strong personal conviction, and I think that's very admirable, to where life could have been quote unquote easy, or just go with her day to day. She really had a passion, and that's not very common. I think also, coming from a family of privilege, she married a gentleman who taught seminary, and she was working right along with him, writing for newspapers, writing for magazines, and being a mother. And that's a lot to juggle, and I feel a lot of people can really relate to that now. When you hear Harriet Beecher Stowe, you think Uncle Tom's Cabin, and that's monumental. But I don't think everyone thinks of the wife and the mother and the sister and the student and the teacher, because that makes her a little more human. So I think she's very relatable and just really shows the power of one voice and one voice with passion.
And do you have one book that you would recommend to listeners so they can start learning more about her?
I do. The book I would recommend is by Joan Hedrick, and it's simply called Harriet Beecher Stowe, A Life. Joan won the 1995 Pulitzer Prize for this biography on Harriet, and it really just goes through and talks about her family, societal change that's going on at the time. The parlor societies that she was a part of that really encouraged and cultivated her writing style, and even discusses the myth of true womanhood as far as women staying at home and taking care of the children versus working and helping to supplement income. So it's a lot of personal information about Harriet that I think is really worthwhile. Actually, one of the things that stood out most to me in the book from Joan is, she says, when Harriet came to Cincinnati, she was a New Englander. But when she left 18 years later, she was an American. And I think that shows the Midwest and living, which at the time was the West, really cultivated Harriet's perspective on life. Being in Cincinnati, being so close to Kentucky, a slave state, the border with the Ohio River, the River Jordan for so many who were enslaved. She saw that. She was able to connect with what was going on. It wasn't just something she was reading in the newspaper. It was taking place in her own town where she lived, and her family was there. So it became very personal. And I think that this book really dives into that, and you get a very personal look into Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Well, there you have it for Harriet Beecher Stowe. Jamie, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
Thank you, Rebecca. This has been a pleasure.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
Here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few, her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story not forgotten.